truly, truly, Lord, restore in our lives the years the locust have eaten in our relationship with you, that you might revive us as a bride, refreshed, totally forgiven. Restore those years, Lord. Give us back that first love, passion, and God, just completely free us from the guilt and the shame and the conscious, bad consciousness. God, we come before you and we thank you that you loved us so much that you wanted us to be your kids. And thank you, Jesus, that you are the veil, the entrance to the veil in the Holy of Holies, so we can come to this anchor that is behind the veil, that we got this relationship with you, God. We thank you for that. And Lord, with your temple within us, God, as we are your temple on this earth, let us live as changed godly believers, as with a DNA that is different, that our walks, our marriages, our parenting, our relationships with one another would be marked by your grace and your power, your Spirit's presence,
glory,
Lord.
Glory to you, Jesus.
God, since we love you and we glorify you, and I thank you so much for Rita and Christine helping lead us to you today in worship. We love you. In Jesus' name and through his body, we come. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you. Yes, in a way. In a way.
That's good.
Well, that's great, man. I love those songs.
Amen.
That was great. Mark has wisely put tissue on everybody's table. And I promise I'm not going to sing, so it's not going to be from tears of that type of pain. So Marcia invited me to do special music at our church on Tuesday nights at 8:30. There's nobody there. Yeah. Y'all, I was, Marcia was in, she was in Who's Who in college. I was in Who's Heat. I want to explain why a woman's love is like lightning, fellas. A woman's love is like lightning. It is just as likely to strike an outhouse as it is a mansion. Now think about that. It should settle in, lightning, just like you strike an outhouse as it is a mansion. That worked in my favor. And I want to tell you a story. When we were in college, there was one person out of 300 graduates from Hardin-Simmons University who had a 4.0 GPA, and that was Marcia. You had to double my grade point average to get hers. And if you guys, do a little math, She was in all of the honor society things. I didn't even know where they met. So I was not invited to come and to those things. So at our graduation day, and Marcia's going across the stage winning all these awards for highest GPA and high overall grade point average and all these outstanding education student, et cetera, et cetera. She's going across the stage. And you stand up for the person that you care about. And our relationship had just really crystallized into something that God was going to then build into becoming our relationship that would lead to engagement in marriage. And it just was starting then. We're graduating from college. We're going to be 6 hours apart in different directions. But standing there, and my dad comes to me afterwards. And my dad's a very wise man. And he comes, and he's a retired Army colonel, infantry and aviation. And so he doesn't talk like this, but it sounds better when you tell a story like this. But he comes to me and he puts his arm around my back. And as Marcia kept walking across the stage, and he goes, afterwards, he goes, "Son, let me get this right. This girl likes you." True story. Every bit of that, except for the 2.0, it was like 2.1. So it was. Marcia never had a B in college, and neither did I. Even in gym, racquetball, bowling. Anyway, so.
poor honey.
As no, it's the Lord has got a sense of humor. Anyway, so punishing her parents, rewarding mine. That's what that was. Yeah, when as through the years and the promotions that came with the military, Marcia's dad was my dad was a mom. We're like, oh, we're so proud of you, son. Way to go, way to go. Because I was am still a chaplain in the Air Force, and the was so every time the promotions would happen, my dad and mom would, way to go, hon. We're proud. We knew about that. So this is gonna be great. Marcia's dad was like, it's all Marcia's fault. You know, you would never have gotten this far on your own. You're not a sharp fellow. And, So he was. My parents felt the same way, but they didn't say it like that. So we've studied the foundation of covenant. We've got the basis that this is a big deal to God. We find the most beautiful part of his covenant with Abraham as he takes upon himself us, our sins, the robe of unrighteousness, and he becomes our sin for us, the sacrifice on the cross. The only point in his life where he's separated from God. My God, why has you forsaken me? And he cries out as he takes our sin upon himself as a sacrifice. And in that time, the New Testament covenant is fulfilled. And then we see in the marriage covenant, those elements, those nine elements that happen, that the marriage covenant that God has started and began in the Garden of Eden, this covenant that he has, then is in his power and his involvement, his investment is for you and your marriages to be successful, to be a model and a picture of the church and Christ, to be a model and a picture of what God does inside of life, inside of our lives, as he really makes, when three become one, when we walk with him. And so what we want to do today is we want to take the scriptural examples and goes, okay, God's for your marriage. He wants you to be successful in it. We want to share practical application scriptures, things that we've learned, things that we've been taught, that we've used for the last few years, and share these things with you as tools that you can take home to put into practice or mentoring in other folks, and think about them as a way of living a godly marriage at the premium level. How do you thrive your marriage? Well, you're not just surviving it, but you're thriving it. You're not just surviving it, you're thriving it. So when I'm training people how to go into a chemical warfare system, our chaplains and our ministry teams to go into an environment like that, they're not going into that environment to survive it. They're going into that environment to minister and fully function regardless of the circumstances. So no matter what your circumstances are, how do you overcome those circumstances and minister to your family, to others, as God has called you to do that? So we want to think about thriving, being above what the normal would be. Instead of just surviving, how do you thrive? And so when the storms of life come, when the oceans rise, when your foundation is tested, you've built your life on Jesus and his word, and therefore the storms come and the storms go, trials come, the trials go, and you walk in the Lord, and your marriage walks in the Lord, and you do that together, and it's going to be better. It's going to be easier going through things together. So we'll start off the day with, if you're going to do that, then you need to be spiritually connected. You got to plug into the power source. It's one thing to say God is the power of my life, and he's going to take care of our marriage, and he's going to do all these things, but I'm not going to plug into him and his power source until I need it. I'm not going to flip that switch. I'm going to do it on my own. This is called failure. That's not smart. That's not smart. Okay, we're going to look at the microwave. Okay, it's not working. It's not working. Okay, let's plug it in and see if it works now. Okay. That'd be silly, right? Okay, so this is the same way it is. So you start your day with the Lord, talking to God. When you get out of bed, good morning, Lord. Good morning, God. Well, I'm not a morning person. So what? Get out of bed. Start the day with the Lord. If you wait till the end of the day to have your time where you tune up with God, that's like tuning a violin after the concert's over. Like tuning the guitars. If they were up here going, hey, what? That's terrible sounding. That's okay. We'll tune it later. They were finished. All right. Start the day with the Lord. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, if you're Luke 9:29, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross how often?
Daily.
And follow me. Crosses are not things that we bear that are burdens in life. They're not the, oh, I've got my cross to bear because, I don't have as much white hair as Ron does, you know, whatever it is. You know, that's what you may be thinking. Well, if you had to live in Pennsylvania, you know, I'm not saying that's the New Jersey people. No, I just say, so you say, that's my cross to bear, or my cross to bear is whatever. Crosses are tools of execution. Put in here electric chair. I will climb into my electric chair and die. I will stand in front of the firing squad and die. I will stand upon the gallows and die. I will take up my cross and die. And then live. I have been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. This life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and delivered himself up for me. Die to self daily and then follow. Yes. It's a living sacrifice acceptable to God. It is our reasonable act of worship. He died for us. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices, but we're living sacrifices, and he wants us to have abundant life, and he wants us to be living a life that glorifies him and that is full of his Spirit. So start the day with him. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, please turn there if you can. Matthew 11, 29. And as you're turning there, also turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 24. For those of you with the phones, I don't know how that's going to work. But let's just go to Ephesians first. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. And in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. What does that sound like? Laying aside, take off, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you to put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, who has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Holiness of truth. So put on the new self. So every morning when you get up, you die to self and you put on the new self. You put on the Lord. That's kind of the picture I wanted to get there. And then Jesus calls us into this great walking relationship in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Would someone like to read that for us? My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I think this is a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. I love this passage of Scripture because Jesus is saying, I want you to yoke yourself to me. Let's get in the yoke together, and then you're going to learn from me. I'm going to teach you the things of the kingdom and the Father. This is walking with the Lord. This is journey language. Join me. Let's pull in the yoke together. I'm the master. I'm going to teach you. I'm the older brother. I'm going to show you stuff. I'm going to teach you things of the Father. So if you can begin the day and say, God, I want to die to self. I'm going to live in you. Not my will, but yours be done. This day's yours. Here you go. Let's go. And Jesus said, come on, let's yoke up. Let's go. Let's go together and we'll walk through the day together. And you can journey through the day with the Lord and him showing you stuff and him teaching you and you learning and you're growing. And this is a wonderful, wonderful idea. Now, imagine if both of you as a couple have this habit of saying, okay, Lord, let's go. Let's do this today and let's walk through this day together. And you may have in your early parts of your day, and this is, you may have a time where you get together and you pray. If you have an opportunity to do this, you pray together. You pray on the phone if you're already at work or something, and you have a time of praying as a couple, saying, God bless our family and our marriage today. So Jesus is going to lead you and teach you and show you stuff about yourself. And you're going to walk with him, and you have this time of tuning up and saying, okay, God, I give you my life. I give you this day. Now, Lord, I'm going to walk with you, and I want to be filled with your Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. When folks are drunk with wine, they say and do things they would not normally do. When folks are filled with the Spirit, they will say and do things they would not normally do. Supernatural. God working, God ministering through us to be able to be filled with His Spirit. And if we looked, if you go back one chapter to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, and this is setting up your day, and then Marcia is going to give us a testimony of faithfulness of how this has played out in praying and walking in the words with this. I say, verses 16 of chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. Now, it said, be filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine. Opposite pictures of being, one is being controlled by something else outside, one is being controlled by something inside that we've allowed control. It's permission. I liked it the way that Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lott, said, God is a gentleman. He's not going to make us follow Him. He offers us the invitation. Jesus, will you yoke yourself to me? Be filled with the Spirit. It's a command, but you've got to choose to do it. I'm not going to make you. And so, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of angers, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Amen. Journey language. Mm-hmm. Walk with the Spirit. Walk in step. I love the marching band illustration. It was wonderful. We'll have an illustration of a trombone being the best instrument in the band later on. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So when we tune up with the Lord, when you dial into the Lord and you get tuned in the morning and you start your day putting on, walking with Jesus, putting on the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, going, okay, Lord, move in our life today. Let me bear your fruit with your Spirit moving in us. Because you bear these fruit because of the Holy Spirit's behavior in you. You practice your spiritual gift because of the Holy Spirit's movement. These are supernatural things. These are God things. These are being part of the family we get to do because the Holy Spirit's in us stuff. Okay? We should be able to function at a level higher than the lost people can in all of these areas because of the Holy Spirit in us. We should do patience better. That makes sense. We should do forgiveness better. We should do love better because we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us do that. And that's because, and we're God's kids, and He's changed us, and He's doing that through us.
I just want to just touch on quiet times. I love my quiet time. And thankfully, I grew up in a home where my mama was an example of it. And she'll be 80 next Sunday. And all my growing up, if I was ever able to get up early enough to see my mama, she always was up an hour before the rest of the family in her quiet time chair, with her Bible open on her lap, reading God's word and praying for her family. And I promise you, this morning, my mama was up an hour before my daddy in her quiet time chair with her Bible open, praying for her family. So that's what I saw growing up. And I wanted to be like my mama. And so, you know, she gave me like a little daily guidepost or a little devotional book. And I, you know, from a time I was a child, I learned how to do the daily quiet time. And then as I grew in my walk with Christ, I mean, it is my sustenance. I mean, the only thing I have to accomplish in any given day is having my quiet time with the Lord. Okay, you know those mornings when you wake up and you are just like, "How, Lord, how on earth am I going to get through this day?" And you know those thoughts are racing, and it's like, and for me, there is instant peace because God says the only thing you have to accomplish is your time with me. And so it is my holy habit. It has been now for a long, 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 long time. What am I? 58? I think I'm 58. I don't know.
51.
Anyway.
51.
So from the time I was a child, I would be up. And this morning, I want to be up before the rest of my family in my quiet time chair. Because it's like as soon as I open God's word, it's like, okay. It's like I can breathe. He has like given me like this, okay, this is a word of reassurance, a word of affirmation, a word of confidence. It's like, and then when I get up from my chair, I am able to go and do the list, the things that had my heart racing when I first woke up. It is miraculous. It is miraculous. And all I have to do in my time in the day is multiplied. I cannot tell you enough what a blessing it is to start your day with the Lord. Both of our children are missionaries and their families are missionaries in Asia. Our daughter and her family have just gone back to the field. They were on furlough a few months ago. And I'll remember there was their last couple of weeks with us. And one morning I was getting up early to do my quiet time and I went downstairs to the living room and there my precious daughter was sitting on the couch with her Bible open. And she has four littles and she's nursing a baby. And they're about to go into a part of Asia that is very unreached and very difficult. And she said, and she had just finished feeding baby Caleb and had laid him back down upstairs. And she was very obviously tired. And she was laying back. She wanted to just go back to sleep. And Jesus said, "I have so much to teach you." And she got up and got her Bible and was downstairs before her mama, reading from Joshua, because the Lord had been teaching her from Joshua what it was going to look like going into this promised land that God has promised to bring people to him. And so I was just like, wow, Lord, you know, here is somebody who had all the excuses in the world not to be up and doing her morning quiet time. But, you know, but God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you want God to give you guidance to tell you what to do? Okay, this is the first thing I eat in the morning. Nothing else satisfies me. So just try. If you're not already in the holy habit, just try it and see what a difference it makes in your life and your marriage.
Amen. Amen. Back to Ephesians, chapter 5. And so once we have a time with the Lord, verse 19, speaking with one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody within your heart, always give thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the Father. Now, the reason I wanted to clue those two things in is when you're filled with the Spirit, when you walk in the Lord, you're going to start the day off. You're going to journey this life together. You should be able to communicate with one another spiritually and with the joy of that relationship and talk with that and have a thankfulness to you. Thankfulness and contentment are probably the two biggest characteristics of godliness. Thankfulness is faith in action. You know, you offer your prayers with thankfulness, because thankfulness is us saying, God, we trust you and we thank you and we believe in you and we appreciate you. We recognize this is from you. So without thankfulness, if you're not a thankful person, then why? I mean, there's something askew spiritually in you, but if you're not thankful, it's pride or arrogance or something unresolved. There's something you need to work with spiritually, because thankfulness is basic Christianity. It's really basic humanity, but good people should be thankful. But most of the time people are thankful for others. I'm thankful you came in my life, but thankful when you're thanking God for things, That's oriented. That's a faith statement to the Lord, and to be thankful, to have a thankful spirit in the Lord. And contentment is a means of great gain when it's accompanied by godliness. Am I content? Am I satisfied with what God's given? Or am I saying, God, what you gave me is not good enough to meet my needs? Is Jesus a good enough Savior to forgive your sins? Is the Spirit not good enough to be a counselor and indweller? Is the spouse that you have not good enough because God's provision is flawed? He would have obviously given me someone with a higher IQ in my circumstance than Marcia's 280, you know? I mean, I need a higher, I'm not content. So contentment and thankfulness are like characteristics that help help us. They're outcomes of that prayer time when we recognize in that spirit with the Lord. Then this really, the reason I did it this way, the reason we did is it's because this next verse is really important, verse 21. And be subject one to another in the fear of Christ. All right, this is, of course, he's speaking to the church, but he's speaking also to couples here. And I'm going to one another. Because your partner, your teammate, your running partner in this life is been given by God to help complete you and help your marriage be greater. And so part of that is going to be trusting one another and listening to one another to be able to make the best decisions that you can. In the passage that's in here, it says, husbands, love your wives three times. And this love is God-like love. This is agape love. And husbands, the love thing is something God commanded us to do. We've got to do it. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are that you're in. Understand, this is given to people in places where there were arranged marriages. They're not, the falling in love thing is really just infatuation stuff. It's the juice God gives us to get through the putting the gears together of the relationship. And so you love each other and you got all this passion and stuff like that. Well, you got to figure out how to make love a greater love than that, a more sustained love than that. And you can still want to have that. You want to have the sparks. That's exciting. That's what we wish. Great. But you got to have a love that is deep, a love that is going to last the relationship. And in many countries of this world, and we have some folks here who have a heritage in India, where a lot of places this is still true, where the families arrange the marriages. And folks, if you're not arranging your children's marriage, you're not a part of that. If you're letting them marry people that you've got all sorts of questions about, if you're not saying, I'm not certain about this, then if you're not involved in that and helping parent them, then that's an area of your life you got to help them. Because if you're 18, 19 years old, you're out and you say, hey, they're out on their own. I can't help them. Well, you're a parent for the rest of their life. You need to have somehow convinced them it's a good idea to ask your advice from now on. Now, when they're getting married, they're on their own. It's their own home life. But you honor your mother and father. And parents, you need to be honoring your children with good advice.
Yeah.
You need to be able to do that, not being in the business to the point that they're going to say, hey, listen, we moved and we're not telling you where we're going and we don't want you around anymore. Phone's disconnected. I thought we paid for that. Anyway, so, you know what I'm saying? So, and the love and humility of the Lord, but it needs to be, there needs to be this to this. Now, as it gets to this, before it gets to these passages, the chapter before talks about do not let the sun set on your anger to give the devil an opportunity. Don't let it escalate. Now, what happens when how about this marriage relationship? You start talking to one another, and all of a sudden it starts escalating. And sometimes the reason it escalates has nothing to do with what's really going on. So the husband and wife happens in this our illustration. Say she's at home. She's been waiting all day for her to see her husband. She's got the kids all set up. She's got things going. She's cooking their favorite meal. She's going. He's at work. He's just saying, doing his job, and all day long he's waiting to get home and see his wife, and he's excited to see her. And just before he leaves work, his boss says, "Hey, make sure that tomorrow morning 7:30 that thing's turned in." And you go, man. And you're driving home, and so you get home and you pull in your parking lot, and where's your brain?
At work.
With work. And it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. If you're in this scenario and you're coming home from work and you're in the left brain and you've been driving and you're going, okay, and I get home. And you're all day long, you've been waiting to get home. But you come in the door and you're still at work. And so the door closes just a little bit louder than it usually does as you close the door. And you walk past the kitchen and you say, hey. And your wife says, hi, honey, how you doing? It's good to see you. And you go into the living room and sit down. Set down your stuff. Turn on TV. Hey, how are you? Pants start rattling just a little bit louder, and he goes, wonder what's wrong with her. She must have had a bad day. Hey, honey, what's for supper? If you want to know what's for supper, you can come in the kitchen and find out. Whose fault is it?
Your boss.
I quit. So understanding is a big deal. If you the grace to allow somebody the grace to believe that most of the time, 99% of the time, your spouse is not out to ruin your day. They're out to be a blessing, and they want the marriage and the relationship to be a blessing. So the grace to be able to say, hey, honey, when you get home, when the rest of you gets here, I'd love to talk to you. And here's a glass of water, and I can give a kiss on the head. I'll see you in a minute. Oh, okay. I got to. You know, the smart thing to do is sit in the car and say, okay, all right, God. Now, this is what I get to do. That's behind. I leave that with you, Lord, and this is what I get to do. I need to be fully here and present in the blessings of this moment that I get to have here in this time. And so, and there's been a book written called Love and Respect, and Marcia's going to talk a little bit about the respect thing. But for the guys and stuff, we're often, we're really competitive. You know, we're designed to conquer. James Dobson says we have brain damage when we're in the womb, and the left side of the brain, the synapses somehow get separated, and we have our blood function differently, and we have left side, right side stuff, and the wife has no brain damage. And so the principle of this is that the guys usually, you know, they want to conquer things, and they want to get out there and capture things, and they, okay, I got the marriage finished, that's done. She's like, okay, we're married, now it begins, kind of thing, as Fred was talking about. So different ways of seeing things. And so when we're communicating, a lot of times, ladies will say to their husbands, how do you feel about this? Can I have another question? And so driving to dinner, and the husband looks at his wife and goes, what do you think we should eat tonight? Wherever you want. I don't know. Well, if you were driving the car, where would you take us? Where do you think you would go? I don't know. Well, we got seafood. We've got Mexican food. We got Red Lobster over here. We got this. We got a steak over here. It's our anniversary. Where do you want to go? You decide. Okay. We're going to do Red Lobster. How come you cried all through the meal? Well, you know I hate fish. We've been married for 5 years. 5 years. And you want, and I don't know, but I never fixed it. I'm supposed to pick up on that. I'm a guy. You should know if you love me, you would have done. Anyway, unexpressed expectations are a foul. Foul. You never told me that. I can't stand fish. Unexpressed expectations are a foul. So we want to express expectations with each other. And we want to learn to use one another to help make the best decisions possible. So let's say you're going to buy a car. So you're going out to buy a car. And I guess everybody up here drives Subarus or something like that because it's like a northern thing and it's safe. I'm just being silly from all the commercials, driving in the snow. So let's say you decide to go to the Subaru lot, and so you're going to buy a car, and you go with your spouse, and the guy looks over at his wife, and he says, "Well, what do you think about that one?" What do you think about it? Well, I think it's a good car. I think it fits in our budget. It looks like it's going to be good. I think it'll take care of our family as we grow. I think it does this, and it looks like it's got good reports from the rating, and it's got all the safety things like that. And how do you feel about it? Well, I feel like the salesman's a jerk, and I don't think this is the right car. And when we drove it, it just seemed a little bit off. And I think so he says, "Well, what do you think about it?" Well, I think we should go to another dealership and look. Or look online and wait on this. This is really what it is. What does your gut tell you? I absolutely agree with you, honey. Because there's something not right here. Men have a deep emotion, but the cream on top is the logic and the thoughts and the processes. But huge emotion often comes out, unfortunately, in negative ways. Women have this wonderful cream of the feeling and sensing and intuition and things like that. That's the cream. It's the conversation. Women talk to women all the time. They understand each other. Men talk to men all the time. They understand each other. You put the two together, and it's like, huh? Anyway, and so because we don't not using this, and then here's women are obviously smarter, better drivers, better school grades, intelligence higher. It's the think category. Get the cream off. Ask, what do you feel about this? Honey, what do you feel we should eat tonight? What are you hungry for? Oh, I'd like to da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, well, that's different, isn't it? Honey, what do you feel we should eat? I don't know. You got to take the cream off first. Ask me what I think about it. I think we should eat. Okay, now I can talk. Anyway, so... 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 Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and self-sacrificed himself for her. Just as Christ does for the church, you die for your wife. You take care of her. Are you living your life self-sacrificing yourself, your stuff, your future for her to be able to be all that God wants her to be? Love your wives. This, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father, shall cleave to his wife. The two will become one flesh. It's a great mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Husbands, love your wives. We're commanded to agape them. But ladies, our greatest need is respect.
And we are, we're commanded throughout Scripture to be subject to our husbands, to respect our husbands. And I just have to tell you, like, in preparation, I know the Lord just brought this teaching to me through His Word just a few weeks ago. And so we've been married nearly 35 years. And even this morning, like, as I'm, like, these thoughts are crystallizing in my head, the Lord has given me what I have been missing for 35 years in my marriage, and I understand this now. Okay, I think I have found the key to respecting. Because, you know, it's one thing, it's like, okay, Lord, I will respect my husband. You know, yes, sir, I will do it. And, you know, and so many times, like for a godly wife, that's what we do. Okay, I mean, despite how he's behaving, despite what he's doing, okay, I will respect you because God told me to respect. And, you know, and I'll, you know, I've even taught before, well, just picture yourself respecting the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, do it as unto the Lord. Well, in Titus chapter 2, and this is so cool because this is a set of verses that I've been praying every day over my family for. It's just a great list of godly characteristics of men and women and of being godly in the Lord. And I've been praying this chapter over my family every day since July 5th, 2012. And every day I pray for myself and for my daughters, my daughter and my daughter-in-law, who is like a daughter to me, and our little granddaughters. Lord, let us love our husbands and love our children. Okay, this is from Titus chapter 2. Let us love our husbands and love our children. And this particular verse is in Titus 2:4. So I looked up that word love your husbands. And it is not the Greek word agape. It is the Greek word philo, because God, you know, like in the scriptures, like in this passage, like God doesn't command us to love our husbands because, like, especially if you're a godly wife, I mean, we're going to love them agape no matter what. Okay. I love you, honey. You know, even though, you know, you're not treating me really right today, I love you. And so I think it's easy for us as, especially Christian women, to agape our husbands, to love them, you know, in that Christ-like love, just because I love you and I'm just going to love you because I love you. But this philo word means to love like a friend. So we're commanded in Titus chapter 2, verse 4, to love our husbands like a friend. And that was like, when the Lord showed me that a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, wow. Do I love my husband like a friend? So women, think about like how we do with like our girlfriends. Like, let's say like your girlfriend is really into essential oils. But you think essential oils is silly. And first of all, I like essential oils, so I'm not trying to offend anybody. But when your girlfriend's telling you about essential oils and how much she loves essential oils, and you're just like, oh, yeah. And you're like, you're interested, and you learn about her essential oils, and you may even go to her party, and you'll end up buying her essential oils, you know, because you love her like a friend. So apply this to our relationships with our spouse. Love them like a friend. And I know, like, the Lord has really shown me this in the past few years. Like, my husband loves golf. And like, so like, he'll be like, honey, you know, I found like this new driver at the golf store, and, you know, like, it's going to improve my drive by, you know, 100 yards. And, you know, in my, you know, my flesh instinct is for you, like, my eyes to roll into the back of my head and just be like, are you kidding me? You know, like, how much? And so, no, love him like a friend. How would I love my friend? Oh, really, honey? Tell me about this driver. Yeah, and, you know, and he's like, tell me, like, he'll make me do like this, and, you know. And I'm like, well, honey, will you take me to the golf store and show me the driver? I mean, would you go with your girlfriend?
Yes.
You would go with your girlfriend, wouldn't you? Just go see what she's interested in. But your husband comes home, and he starts telling about, you know, like, the latest stats on his favorite sports figure or whatever, and you just, like, want to just, like, you know, collapse in boredom or whatever. You would never treat your friend that way. Okay, precious one, that and then all of a sudden you're interested in what he's interested in, and you go with him to the golf store, and you look at the driver, and you start thinking, now, how could I save up my money and get this for him for his birthday? And I've discovered, like, I go with him out on the golf course, and he wants to be home with me and not take a time. And so I suggest it, like, honey, let's go out to the golf course. I want to watch you golf. And I mean, there, you talk about like his respect, like what a guy needs. And again, this is how God created them before sin entered the world. Okay? Our husbands are created in the image of God. And you think, and this is another thing God taught me about my husband. One time my husband was gone for a year. He was away from me for a year on a remote assignment, and I spent a lot of time like taking my walks with Jesus, and I would just be out, and we would have these beautiful paths that the Lord and I would walk. And one day in the fall, the leaves were turning colors, and I was just gorgeous, and I was like, God, you are just showing off for me. And God was like, you are right, and you notice, and I just adored him for it. I'm like, wow, God, you're just showing off. That's what our husbands are doing for us, ladies. They're showing off for us. They just want us to pay attention. Pay attention to them like you would your friend. And your husband should be your best friend.
Amen.
Okay, there is no other human on this planet that I call my best friend. It's my husband. I don't have, like, my girlfriends are not my best friends. And I don't spend more time with a girlfriend than I do with my husband. Okay, and just go with them. Enjoy it. Enjoy them like a friend. And that, your respect level goes up. And all of a sudden, you're taking part in what they're interested in. And it's like, it's fun to go walk the golf course. And it's a great time to pray. And he even bought me a little thing where I can go get ball, you know, like find the balls that like went over the fence and down in the creek. And like, it's like, you know, like Easter egg hunting. I love it. I go and I'm like, one time on this one hole, like there's like a ton of balls over in the little chain link fence. And by the time he made it up to the putting green, I mean, I had on something with pockets. And I mean, I'm like, honey, look how many golf balls I found. I'm like, I'm having a blast. I'm like, no, let's do 18 holes, not just nine. I'm having a ball, you know. Y'all, just love him like a friend. And then you respect your friends, don't your girlfriends? And you respect whatever they're selling, whatever they're interested in. Okay, my goodness, for the love of your life, your beloved, respect them, love them, love what they love. Okay, love them like a friend and just see how it'll transform your heart towards them. Okay, Ron and I, we love to walk together. We love to go on long walks and talk and pray for our kids, walk and talk. You know, what people often ask me, because we have great relationships with our children and with their spouses. And it's like, what did you do? We spent hours walking and talking. Okay, from the time they were little to this day, they're adults, but they still love to go walk and talk with their parents. It's great. It gets you out of the house, away from the distractions. We walk and talk, walk and talk, walk and talk. My husband and I, my favorite times of the day are when we play backgammon together, we play cribbage together, we have special two people games that only my husband and I play together. And it's special time. I love lingering suppers. You know, and I realize some of you still have littles at home and that can't happen yet. But when you have a chance, and my husband will come home from work and I'll have like gone to the store and found like a pretty steak, and you know, like, and it's like, I want, and I'll tell him ahead of time, again, expressed expectations, honey, this is going to be a lingering supper. And so that means, you know, we're going to, you know, start with, you know, the salad, and we're going to, you know, and it's not hard, you know, and then we're going to talk, and we're going to, you know, and then he's going to grill the steak, and we're going to sit down and eat the steak, and we're going to, and, you know, and we just, and all of a sudden, it's like, it's been 3 hours. And I'm like, Lord, how precious. Okay. Another thing I've learned in our marriage, like our Facebook account is together. Ron Marsha Harvell. You can friend me. I'll friend you back. Ron Marsha Harvell. Okay? Like there is no, like, you do not, just to a fair proof your marriage, like, you don't need to be go looking up old boyfriends and old girlfriends, see what they're doing. And my husband, there is no message on Facebook. Our Gmail account is RM Harvell. Ron Marsha Harvell. Okay, my husband, like, knows if there's a password on something, my husband knows it. There is no text on my phone my husband cannot read, and likewise on his. Okay, I can pick up his phone anytime, type in the password, and look through all of his text. I can look through any email on the Gmail, and there is nothing. Okay, there are no secrets. Okay. And I'm not chatting it up with men. Okay? I do not. I even have a hard time. Like, if there's like a business phone call or whatever, I'm like, honey, it's a guy. You call him. I don't talk to guys. Okay? I don't chat it up with guys. I chat it up with my husband. Okay? And it's awesome. Okay? He is my best earthly friend. Okay? And then my relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. So, God wants your marriages to be amazing.
Amen. So we're going to close this with just one quick last illustration, thing to think about, to add to all of these things. And then we'll have a closing song. And Mark, do you have anything else you need to say? Or Lisa, we got to do the contest thing in a second for the folks that turned in their books and the ribbons. So, and we're supposed to be out by 11. Okay. Well, we're going to really lean on the ish on this one. So we'll work just the last couple things for us. And then Marcia's got a prayer she wants to pray for you and the success of your marriage. One of the most sweet, one of the most beautiful promises the Bible says is in Psalms 25:14, where he talks about the Lord reveals his secrets to those he loves. When you journey together and you seek God's will together, what's he God's will? We have had the privilege of needing to be able to discern God's will many, many times. Do we move to this continent? Do we go to this continent? Do we go, do we take this job or not? Do we work in this situation? How do we handle this situation? Do we buy this or not? And together, because we submit to one another in those decisions, we come before the Lord and we start praying and we say, God, show us what you want. It doesn't matter what she thought, doesn't matter what I thought, it's what you think. And we die to self and we say, Lord, whatever you want. And it may be yes, maybe no, maybe wait, maybe no peace. And as you spiritually, you're dealing with that, you're looking at that. And so this is as big a thing as a move, and it's very important. If you can do this and model it for your children, my goal for children, when I'm working with youth ministries and our kids and what we wanted, is that by the time they're 18 years old, they have a walk of their own with the Lord at such a level they can discern his will. What school should I go to? What should my job be? Who should I date or not date? We did courtship with our kids. I told my daughter she could go on her first date when she was 25 years old. She said, Daddy, what if I'm married before then? I said, we'll talk about it. And she, anyway, so she was. Her first kiss with her husband was on her wedding day. Cutting covenant. She understood it. My son's first kiss with his wife was on his wedding day. Okay? They got it. They learned it. They saw it. It was emulated. They got the covenant part. I'm waiting. And it's going to be Yahoo time at the old Harville house, or Lee house, depending on Stephanie's or theirs. They loved it. They had a great time. So as you're doing this and you're partnering together, dying to self and saying, God, your will be done, but not ours. And do that together in practice and listen to one another. It isn't a contest. It's a team. The team wins. You come to things together. You grow together. You learn. And I think God will often sometimes wait on his answer because he enjoys the intense time with us and learns and teaches and says, okay, here we go. And the more, and he can reveal himself at your level of understanding whether it's his will or not. Wherever you are spiritually, newborn Christians can discern God's will and learn to hear about it. They need the help to refine it, but they can do it. So God reveals his secrets to those who love him, and he wants to show you what he's thinking and what his will is. I pray that you become a great team together, that your marriage become wonderful, and that y'all are be all in with the Lord and what the Lord is leading you to do. So we're going to close with this, that last encouragement to discern God's will that way. And Marcia has a prayer for you. We thank you so much. Thank you for the staff, for all that you've done, for letting us come and to be here. A wonderful job.
And so this is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 14, going to the end of the chapter. This would be a great prayer for you as a couple to start praying together every day over your family. Lord, for this reason, we bow our knees before you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Lord, grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with power through your Spirit in our inner man. Jesus, dwell in our hearts by faith and root us and ground us in love. Lord, let every couple in this room be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know your love, Lord Jesus Christ, which surpasses knowledge. God, fill every single marriage up to all the fullness of you. Now to you, Father, You are able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to your power that mightily works within us. To you, Father, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.